Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another really good revision history podcast with me, Mr. Hutchison, and we are continuing our story of Western settlements, moving now into the gold rush. So if you've caught up on the previous podcast, and if you haven't, I would absolutely recommend you do, because with this American West course, particularly this part of it, it really does fit a sort of chronological structure of various groups of people moving out onto the plains and beyond during the sort of 1830s, 1840s, 1850s and onwards. So it's important for you to get the chronology right. You know, it goes without saying, doesn't it, when it comes to your exams, you need to know who moved and when. Not specifically so much for the individual specific dates. I mean, that's useful and that's a lovely cherry on top. But it's not the be-all and end-all. It's just you need to stick within the dates within the exam questions. So that's the importance of knowing the dates, and knowing the chronology will help you sort of build that logical story of settlement as well. I mean, I'm talking about the Edexcel exams here, and I would absolutely recommend that... I'm going a bit off topic here, but it doesn't matter. I would absolutely recommend that students don't fixate too much on individual dates. If you come to that exam and you know you sat there and you're thinking, oh, when was the Pacific Railway Act? You know, was it 1861 or 1862? And you're really struggling over it. Don't worry about it. Just write early 1860s. You know, yes, it would be preferable if you know the exact date, but don't focus your revision on that, guys. Okay, particularly for this American West bit. You know, the questions are all about importance and consequence. So that's where you want to focus your revision. What happened and why? And what happened as a result of these events, and as a result of this group moving onto the plains, and as a result of this battle, and a result of the civil war. That's where your marks are. It's that detailed explanation, that knowledge about how events affect other events, and in what ways, and to what extent, and how they are a driving factor for change. That is going to get you the top marks. All right. So a little off topic there, but still very, very important to note, because you should have that in your minds as you listen to these podcasts, as you do your revision, as as your teachers go through the lessons. You know, have that story in your mind, always thinking about consequence, always thinking about what happens as a result, why this is important. That really will help you focus towards the primary focus of this course. So the gold rush then. First thing to remember, and the reason why I went off topic and talking about the podcast, is because you know, lots of different groups of people went for lots of different individual reasons. They've all got their own individual reasons, not just groups of people. You know, the homesteaders went for a different reason from the prospectors and etc., etc. But within that, different families had their own very personal reasons for moving out onto the plains. So I'm just going to talk a few of them now. So when we're talking about the gold rush and other groups that move onto the plains, sort of the old-fashioned way we would teach this would be to talk about push and pull factors. And what we mean by that is that a pull factor is something that coaxes a group or an individual out onto the plains, that, you know, that tempts them out there. There's still that level of choice, whereas a push factor is kind of when they're forced to go. Now, we don't worry about that too much, but I think it's still interesting to think about reasons why groups went in those two different ways, because it sort of helps you get into the mentality of the various groups of settlers that moved out onto the plains. So there were lots of different reasons, you know, and this isn't unique to the people that left during the gold rush or the pioneers or whatever it is. This is sort of individual reasons why they went. So, you know, my last podcast was on the Mormons. You know, the religious persecution. They faced a lot of religious persecution, which forced them to leave New York initially, and then Nauvoo, and eventually, you know, they moved to Salt Lake City because they wanted to escape America. They wanted to escape the sort of oppressive or the neglectful nature of the US government that wasn't helping them. So wanted to get sort of move away from the American borders. So, you know, that's a key example of a push factor there. So firstly, land in in the East was becoming more and more expensive. And that stands to reason, right? I mentioned at the start of this course that during this course, you've got people moving in, migrants moving into the eastern states of America from all over Europe, and that's a constant, continuous stream, which means they land in the East, some of them just stay there. So that's filling up, and of course, supply and demand, the more people that fill that land up means that it becomes more expensive to rent, more expensive to get tenancy, everything else. So it sort of pushes people further out there. I'll go into this in more detail later on, but Pacific Railway Acts of 1862 and 1864 start aid construction of a railroad that moves right across the United States. So there's already a rail network, and it's constantly building and being in the East. But after 1869, when it's completed, East and West Coast are joined up, and of course that makes settlement on the plains much easier, quicker, cheaper, and really snowball settlement as well. Outlaws, criminals, I'll do a podcast on how wild was the Wild West as well. The wilderness is a great place to sort of hide out, get away with crimes. Do an act of criminality and then rush out onto the plains. It's very difficult to find people there. So that's another pull factor, I suppose, if you were that way inclined. Many people that went out to the West then wrote home and coaxed their friends to come out as well, and their family to come out as well, but particularly once they'd set up a home and a life and, you know, a support structure and made friends and everything else. So some people went to join with family and friends that had already gone. There was an economic depression as well in 1837. So thousands of people losing their jobs. They had to start thinking outside the box and look for other things to do. So they start thinking about, well, we might as well get on the Oregon Trail and try and find our fortune during the gold rush, etc. The Homestead Act, which I will look at in far more detail in a later podcast, offered free land. So the American government, once the West Coast has started to be settled, decides that actually they're going to actively encourage people to move out onto the plains itself in the middle, and they're going to encourage people by offering them free land, which is a huge draw, huge pull factor. If people go out there, they make a life and they settle there, they can then get the deed, 160 acres. So I mean that hugely important in speeding up the settlement of the West itself. Health, that sort of ties in loosely to medicine through time course, that many people believe that a warmer climate was good, particularly for respiratory illnesses. So if you lived in the industrialized East and you suffered from some kind of illness, a lot of people believe that by moving west, their health would improve. So that was a reason as well. Some people just wanted a sense of adventure or simply to make a fresh start. It can be as simple as that. Don't forget about religious persecution and racial persecution. We will go into some more detail. We've already looked at the Mormons, but also racial persecution. This is not long chronologically where I am now in this podcast. We were not long before the Civil War. There is slavery in the US, and I could do an entire course on the transatlantic slave trade, and we're scooting through an extremely, extremely important piece of history there. But slavery did exist in the southern states, and so there's a lot of racism, a lot of racial tension, and not just because of the slave trade. People from Europe as well coming over, landing in America. Some different groups of Europeans don't like each other. There was tension between the English and the Irish, for example. So those racial tensions and those prejudices, they bring them with them, and it continues. Don't forget Manifest Destiny. I've already mentioned it before in a previous podcast. Go back and listen to it if you can't remember what that is. But Manifest Destiny was an idea there. It was duty and the right of American people to settle the plains. And of course that infects the mentality of many people in the West, and they go out there because they feel vindicated. They feel that it's our duty, it's our right, we should go. And of course then you've got the major pull factor, which segues beautifully into the rest of this podcast, and that is the discovery of gold, but other materials as well. And so that's what the rest of the podcast is going to focus on, and that is the Gold Rush. So the Gold Rush, of course, starts really in 1848 1849, but in 1848 gold is discovered by a man called James Marshall in California, and he writes home about it, you know, and it becomes common knowledge in the East, and it starts what we now call a gold rush, where thousands and thousands of people rush out there to make their fortune. Many of us play the lottery, probably not you guys, but maybe parents and guardians do. You know, why do we do that? In the hope of getting rich quick overnight. There aren't many opportunities in life that offer that, and it's a big draw. Who doesn't want to get rich overnight? And this was the sort of 1840s equivalent of that. You know, it offered the opportunity for instant wealth. And as I say, that there's not a lot of opportunities for that. So it was a huge draw factor. Now, the reason we talk about this isn't because this is, you know, five or six people that rushed out there to make their fortune. This is tens and thousands of men, mainly, certainly initially, rushing out to California in the hope of striking it rich. So the initial sort of surge is estimated at about 40,000 miners. By the spring of 1849, there were 40,000 miners rushing out to California as a direct result of the discovery of gold by James Marshall. So it leads to a mass migration. And of course, this is why things link together. Think about consequence. It was made sort of easier, or facilitated, if you like, by the fact the Oregon Trail had already been established. The miners used the Oregon Trail that had already been established by pioneers. So the Oregon Trail makes it easy and facilitates the gold rush of 1848. So you can see how you can link these events together. Consequence, significance, importance. Yep. In an exam context, if you were asked about the consequences of the Oregon Trail, the importance of the Oregon Trail, you could link that to the gold rush. Okay. So there you go. So the gold rush lasted from about 1849 to 1856, after gold was discovered in 1848. And the important thing to remember here is when we talk about the gold rush, we think of the Californian gold rush in 1849, hence the San Francisco 49ers. Okay, that's where the name comes from, the date. But it's also important to remember that there were gold rushes throughout the period that we're looking at, American West, and not just gold, you know, people, prospectors, which is the name given to miners, rushed out to various parts of America to try and strike it rich because of the discovery of all kinds of different precious metals and minerals. So for example, later on in the course, we're going to talk about the fight, the OK Corral and Tombstone, brilliant name, isn't it? Tombstone was a town that was founded around the discovery of silver and prospectors moving out there to mine silver. So discovery of precious materials drove settlements throughout the period that we're looking at. But when we talk about the gold rush, we tend to think of the 1849 one. So yeah, 1849, 40,000 miners rush across the Oregon Trail, by and large, to get to California to strike it rich. At first, most of them are men, and they were living in sort of makeshift tent settlements, hoping to make a quick fortune. But before long, many of them stay out there, and they are soon followed by shopkeepers, traders, wives and girlfriends come, cooks, you name it, okay? When there's a large group of people congregating somewhere, and then that congregation becomes more of a permanent settlement, then more people, of course, move over there to take advantage of that settlement. You know, people set up bars and restaurants and you name it, right? In order to make money from the people that are already there. So it's like a snowball effect. And that's exactly what happens. Important thing to remember about the gold rush itself is very, very, very few men very few prospectors made their fortune from gold. Okay, some of them turned back and went home, but a lot of them stayed out there. A lot of them stayed out there and found other ways of making money in other professions. And so that's the importance of the gold rush here, that it kickstarts a mass settlement. It kickstarts mass migration, leading to a mass settlement. Okay, most of them fail as prospectors and then become miners. They realize that the land is fertile, and California is a beautiful place to live, and it's full of opportunity, and they stay and take advantage of that. So although they went for the gold, they stay for the land often. And of course, this, I've mentioned it earlier in the podcast, but that was made even easier after 1869 when the railroads were completed, which connects the railway network in the east to the west coast. Now, all of a sudden, it's easier to get out there, it's quicker to get out there, it's cheaper to get out there, and it's safer to get out there. Again, consequent significance of the railroads. I'll do a separate podcast on it, but speeds up settlement, doesn't it? Speeds up settlement. So the direct consequence of the gold rush, of course, are substantial. So, for example, San Francisco goes from a tiny settlement of about 200 people in 1846 to 36,000 by 1852. So just think about that for a second. In 6 short years, a town or a makeshift settlement of 200 becomes a boom town of about 36,000. That demonstrates to you the scale of settlement as a direct result of this particular gold rush. Okay, and of course, roads, churches, schools, restaurants, saloons, whatever, are all built as a direct result of that to accommodate the people that are there. Okay, so that's a direct consequence, isn't it? And of course, with that comes the negative consequences, the increased racial tensions, okay, and of course, linked to that, the Plains Indians who lived in that area, even more tensions with them, pushed off more of their land, and of course, as we look, find out later, but when we look at events like Little Bighorn, you know, direct consequence when gold and other precious minerals are found on Plains Indians land, particularly land that's been guaranteed by treaties between the US government and the Plains Indians. It creates even more tension. You've got a similar thing here with the gold rush. So just generally, you could argue that tensions are increased, partly because of the volume of people coming across the Oregon Trail as a result of the gold rush. And, you know, the fact that gold and other materials are directly discovered in Plains Indians land, which again increases that tension between the two sides. We look at law and order separately. I think that's an important separate almost case study of this Plains. I mean, I'm talking to you now in 2020. As of yet, the exams haven't included a direct question on law and order. I'm trying to think if that's an accurate statement, but I'm pretty sure it is. So if you're listening to this in 2020, you know, there is a distinct possibility that will happen. You know, we don't like to play these games with exams and gamble, as it were. You need to revise everything, right? Doesn't mean that because something's come up before, it won't come up again, and because something hasn't come up, it doesn't necessarily mean that it absolutely will. But in saying that, law and order hasn't appeared on an exam yet, so it's entirely possible that it will. But anyway, I digress. Law and order here as a result of this particular gold rush, you know, it's a problem. There's gambling, there's drinking, the prostitution are rife. These boom towns grow quicker than law and order can keep up with them, if you like. And so, you know, the idea of the Wild West, you know, this is one of the reasons for that. Historians debate over how wild the Wild West actually was, and that again, I'll leave that for a podcast in the future. But you certainly could argue that law and order, gambling, drinking, prostitution, general violence, murder, all those things increased or were problematic as a direct result of the sheer volume of people moving there because of the gold rush. Just a few facts about San Francisco itself. Went from a sleepy town to a major city. We've already established that. You could also argue the growth of industry. For example, farming. Lots of those prospectors became farmers. More people came out there to be farmers. And in California, by and large, it's excellent farmland. And so California itself becomes a major economic powerhouse. You know, it begins growing and exporting food all over the world, which then in turn helps the USA become the economic powerhouse that it is today, a world trader. Now, I'm not saying that's all directly due to the gold rush, but it's one factor, a small piece of that puzzle, if you like, that helps America develop. So there you go, mass consequences, short-term and long-term, okay, so significance or importance and direct immediate consequences as a result of the gold rush. So I hope that's helped you. That's outlined what the gold rush is. I've tried to focus more on consequence and importance rather than just telling you what the gold rush actually is and what happened. But there we go, ladies and gentlemen. Not as brief that podcast as I initially intended, but there we are. Hopefully that's helped you get your head around it and put you in the right mindset, always thinking about significance and importance as we go through this course. That's it for this one. I hope you've enjoyed it. Do go back and listen to the other podcasts, and remember, you can listen to them more than once. The pause button is a powerful tool for you to pause and rewind these things, you know, particularly if you're using them for revision and making notes. So please do utilize that. I hope it's been useful. Keep working hard, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you for the next one. Bye-bye then.